I've been saying it for about 3 years now. The open gym model is coming back in a big way. I have Brent LaFay on the podcast today, who is the founder of Carbon Performance. He had an incredible run in the supplement industry, but he still had like this itch to scratch. He had an idea of an open gym model that was not present in his market, which is Nashville, Tennessee. So he bought out a failing CrossFit gym, took over their spot, and piloted it in a much smaller square footage footprint than what he has recently opened, a 30,000 square foot health club. He essentially took over the Franklin Athletic Club, which had been, you know, it wasn't modernized, it wasn't up to date, it was just dying. And then he's come in there with his concept and has reinvigorated it, brought Carbon Performance to Nashville, and he attracted private equity. So he's an independent Globo Gym creator, right? This is an independent model. It's his brand. He is tackling that health club open gym model, and he attracted private equity. Maxim Partners comes in, they partner with him, and now they're looking at several locations throughout the Nashville market. The Carbon Performance location is on my short list of gyms to visit in the very near future. For anyone here who's, again, you're an industry person, you're interested in this rise that we're seeing in the open gym space, which has just been overshadowed by the group fitness boutique space for the past decade, you're really going to enjoy this conversation.
What is up, guys? It is Stu, and it is another episode of the What the Fuck Gym Talk podcast. And in this world of the open gym model making its way back in and privately owned health clubs, there's a handful of names that have hit my airwaves and my radar, and Carbon Performance is one of them. And I have Brent LaFay on here, who is you're the co-founder, correct?
Myself and my wife. She definitely help with the branding.
So, brother, that is definitely, give her recognition on the partnership on that one, right?
100%.
All right, Brent, do me a favor. If you would ever give everyone, you know, your 2 minute kind of background in the fitness industry, kind of leading you up to kicking off Carbon Performance.
Yeah, no, appreciate it. So kind of where I started, professionally, I right out of college, got into the supplement side. And ended up starting my own contract manufacturing called Armada Nutrition, which was basically in the supplement space, you have brands and their sales and marketing. They don't manufacture, they don't really formulate. So we would do the formulation manufacturing for some of the bigger brands you'd go buy in GNC and all that stuff. Was fortunate enough to really scale that, went from, you know, 5,000 square feet to the end, two facilities combined of 800,000 square feet, working with the top brands. And it was a passion for me, you know, it was a great business, but huge into supplements and training, bodybuilding. And then I sold a majority of the business in 2019, stayed on for 4 years. But when I did that, I wanted to open my own gym. Huge into training. I was, you know, more, I wouldn't say competing in bodybuilding, more doing it as kind of a hobby. So I wanted to create my own gym that I thought was missing, especially in the Nashville market. So we started with Carbon Culture in 19. And then, you know, just like a lot of things I do, it starts small and then you get obsessive. And then next thing you know, you're opening one gym, two gyms, and, you know, kind of here we are today. So I've always been in the supplement space, fitness space. Now I'm currently a partner in a supplement brand called Raw Nutrition, which a lot of people know, which is great because it obviously keeps you very connected through the space that we do for events and things like that. So it's all kind of intertwined, but always been in supplement or fitness.
Okay. So walk me through the gym owner side. So what does the gym ownership journey look like? So obviously being, you know, it's a nice auxiliary thing to have. You have a gym, it can be a cash flowing thing. Plus you bring in your supplement brand in there. There's an auxiliary revenue stream as well outside of your distribution channels. But walk me through like the first foray into brick and mortar ownership, because leasing brick and mortar warehouses for distribution, that's one thing, right? But then you get into, it's a whole different game when you're thinking of a client experience and how do I outdo the LA Fitnesses and the, you know, all those of the world.
Yep. Yeah, 100%. And like, honestly, it's kind of, it sounds really stupid. So it's not a great entrepreneurial kind of mentorship here. But when I started the first gym, I was not looking to really make money. I wanted to like, I was going small, right? Kind of niche and wanted to create an experience to the gym that I thought was missing. And as we did that, we got great feedback. And then all of a sudden it started going, this actually could be a legit business, right? We were starting to do well, cash flow. And I didn't cut corners when it came to like equipment and kind of the look of it. And I think that helped me because I like had a set amount I was willing to lose in my first gym. And that was my thought, legitimately, like, I'm going to do this. I'm not going to make any money. I'm going to spend X. And sure enough, you know, a couple breaks and we're cash flowing and making money. And then I started going to myself, damn, man, like this small gym model is kind of, you know, handcuffed me a little bit. And then that's when we decided to obviously go from 8,000 square feet to 32,000, right? And that's when things get a little bit more serious and you're signing big leases, the equipment spend is big and all that.
So everyone listening, I've actually been to your first location when I was in Nashville recently, and it was a former CrossFit space. How did you come about acquiring or taking over that lease? I'm assuming the gym owner just, they were done, they were out, and you got to come in, take over the lease, or was it, I mean, did you buy their business and break it? Like, what did you do?
Yeah.
How'd you get that space?
Actually, the first space we had was 4,000 square feet next to CrossFit, which was CrossFit Cool Springs. So we started next to them. And I mean, I think the guy, I'd have been pissed too, if all of a sudden a gym's next to me. So obviously in his lease, he didn't have protection on that. I didn't care because I didn't think our clientele would be, you know, CrossFit and bodybuilding are really two different things. So yeah, we started there. Then I got to know, the guy that owned Cool Springs CrossFit. We did some collaboration stuff. We tried to be more friendly than enemies. And he was at a point where he kind of wanted out. He'd been doing it 7-8 years, had some, you know, real good success, like kind of a few years before that. Then COVID hit and he was just kind of like over it. So I found a way to basically buy his business and then take over that lease. So we went from 4,000 to 8,000 and took the CrossFit side, knocked literally a door in between the two walls and rock and roll.
So you essentially, you had no interest in the business. You're like, fuck this. I want the lease. And he probably has a, you know, a good rate on the lease. And as long you wanted to assume the lease, I'm sure the landlord was happy to have you expand your footprint.
100%. That's exactly it. Yep. So that's exactly how it happened.
And you walk in there and you know, only if you're in the industry, you walk in, I'm like, okay. And I'm like, this is a weird fucking little corridor to this next space. And you kind of get over there like, this definitely was not all conducive. It's not all done at once, but it worked out. And you're right, equipment wise. So I walked in and the first thing I fucking recognized, I walk in the door diagonally to my left. You have one of Arsenal's, their premier belt squats right there. And I'm like, oh, cause I mean, anyone. And again, obviously that's a Nashville brand, right? Or Tennessee brand. I'm sorry. Tennessee brand. And I was like, oh, fuck yeah. I mean, it's one of the first things I recognize now going in is, are you going to default to, and again, not that Hammer Strength is a bad company, but your dad's Hammer Strengths of the day are not what you're seeing Arsenal and Atlantis put out these days.
Yeah, 100%.
And so I was like, okay, I fuck with that. So let's check this out. I thought it was, I think you makeshifted those two suites, those two areas really nicely, you know, the little functional fitness area kind of keep, you know, for the CrossFit shit was off to the side. I think you did a great job there. And I love that. Like, I remember going back to that conference I was at in Nashville and be like, it's a good fucking, it's a good concept. And then that was 2021. I came back in 2022 and I went to look you guys back up and I'm talking to someone and they mentioned this bigger space that maybe I'm assuming it was you guys. I was like, okay, well, that's interesting. And then I saw that I got the press release notice that you guys had partnered with Maxim, which I want to talk about.
Yep.
That's a big jump though. Like you went from a boutique open gym model to, I mean, you're trying to play with the big boys in that health club, Lifetime, LA Fitness type space. Why make that gargantuan of a jump?
Yeah, good questions. And I mean, I think this was a little bit opportunistic, right? There happened to be a 32,000 square foot gym, 1,000 feet behind our other gym called Franklin Athletic Club.
Yep.
And it was the same company who owned both buildings. They weren't too happy with Franklin. You know, I'm not sharing information. Probably people don't know. They just disagreeing on the lease and they weren't going to renew it. So, the guy like came into our gym, was like complimentary. And then he walked me out back and he's like, you ever thought about going bigger? And I'm like, well, bigger comes, you know, a lot of expenses. And we walk outside and he points to this building. And he's like, what about that one? And I'm like, okay, I think I know what's going on here. So I'm like, for sure. But obviously, you know, a lot of numbers have to be discussed and they made the deal obviously pretty sweet, but sure enough, like within it's just like timing, probably that month I was talking to my wife of like, Okay, I love the small gym model. It's controllable. You can make some cash flow, but basically, like that kind of like contribution margin curve, it limits, right? Because you only have so much space. And I'm like, I think we can do this in a bigger space. We should start looking into it. And then sure enough, this guy fucking walks in and like, it's like, okay, he was listening to me. I better act on this impulse. Sure enough, like working on the lease, go for it, build a business plan. And it kind of surprised me when we took over June of 2022, June 1st. And I mean, our first 5 months were crazy. We almost doubled the member count, and we hadn't done much. Like we still were basically, we were going to do the construction project while staying open. We put some paint on the wall, redid the parking lot, but all the big shit we were doing, we hadn't even done. But just, I think because people had seen our small gym and kind of the look of it, and we were kind of marketing what will come, people believed in it and jumped on it, which was kind of surprising. And then over the course of 1 year, we redid basically every inch of this gym. From all, we got rid of all their old equipment, which we still have, and we'll end up doing an outdoor gym. Went with a kind of a mixture of Atlantis, Prime, a lot of Arsenal, some Hammer. Redid the locker rooms, redid all the flooring, redid all the lighting. Put in obviously like a legit cafe. We put in an anti-aging clinic that's separate to the business where you get IVs, hormone therapy, Botox, and literally tried to make a one-stop shop in this place. And we also have a youth performance area that looks like a college weight room that's separate. It's got garage doors for outside, kind of like all your racks. And that's like a business in itself. So bigger, faster, stronger for youth. You got your personal training department. We have a adult class called Carbon Edge. We have the supplements, we have the cafe, we have the anti-aging clinic. So like really trying to create all these different revenue streams in 32,000 square feet versus some of these places like an LA Fitness, it's $30 and you have free room to everything, right? So that's kind of the concept we rolled out here. And this gym was officially done in July of 23. So yeah.
So I want to talk on the square, like the lease, the commercial real estate side. So the landlord's got a tenant that's underperforming, and they're not matching real well on the renewal lease terms, but it's already essentially gutted, HVAC, all the big capital improvement shit for a gym. And if anyone's familiar with any of the athletic club like brands, like what we saw with NC, New York Sports Club, or I mean even Charlotte Athletic Club, where I'm at, Charlotte, North Carolina. That completely just got gutted. A lot of those brands just had owners asleep at the wheel. The facilities weren't modernized. They were really nice in 2000 or 1997, right?
So that's
But
exactly how this was.
yeah, but it's like it's got bones. It just doesn't have a 2024 vibe to it.
Dude,
And
that's 100%.
yeah, it's like, if you see, and I'm sure you've probably taken inspiration from what the likes of like Alpha Land has done and some of these other, I was just, Corey Kiefer owns Core 24, which is a really high-end boutique open gym model, smaller scale, that just moved here to Charlotte. We just did an episode last night, and you're seeing this rise of the open gym thing pop back up. The biggest scare of it is generally the commercial real estate side. Do you mind sharing on the commercial real estate? Like, all right, so 30,000 square feet, how sweet of a deal did they give you? What are you paying per square foot?
I mean, it was a good deal in the sense of like they wanted us, and they, it'd be an easy slide in because it's a gym, right? So to them, they gave us a very healthy tenant allowance, but probably less than they'd have to give a car dealership or less to give because they were gonna have to restructure, right? So it definitely worked out where we got a lot of money. I felt very good about it. They felt probably good about it because to get somebody else in, you're gonna have to just renovate the place. But then on top of it, we made sure my big concerns are always HVAC. And it has,
Sure.
I
Yeah.
think we have 23 different air handlers. So they put in the lease that within 1 year, every single air handler would be replaced.
Okay.
So
Are you
that.
still responsible on the lease for, obviously you probably are responsible up to a certain dollar amount. You got to do annual maintenance, have a maintenance package on it. But who holds the bag on that at the end of the day, even if they're brand new, if one of them takes a shit, you or the
So
landlord?
yeah, that is, we have to do the maintenance on it, right? So yeah, they basically said, hey, we'll put 23 new ones in. From that point on, you're on the hook for the maintenance, and then if they do go out, right? So yeah, there's definitely some there's some liability there sitting with us on what that could do.
How long of a lease term did you sign?
10 years.
Okay. Not
Yeah.
bad.
So with 10 years, I mean, it's like, it's 10 different ways, right? But like you do 5 year, the TI was going to be significantly less. They were going to be a little bit more crude on the air handlers. And then to me, the thing is like, you're going to put in, you know, just hypothetically say a couple $1 million, right? If you're going to have success and you put a couple $1 million in, 5 years is probably not a long enough lease,
It's
right?
not, well, not enough to make your money, not at all. You need that 10-year runway to even start recouping any cash.
Yeah. And some people, when I tell them, they're like, oh, that's a long lease. And I'm like,
You
that's
blink
what you
and turn
have to have.
around, 5 years is over, right? Like
Yeah.
from a business perspective. Did they, do you mind sharing what they gave you in TI?
Yeah, I mean that I can, because I don't want to speak on some of the stuff Maxim was involved in, because obviously, but like this was my own. They gave us 600 grand.
Okay.
So not a huge amount, but at the same time, you gotta remember the infrastructure was here. Like this is
Yeah.
what I loved about this place. The Bones, it was the first gym I joined when I came to Tennessee. And like it had that mezzanine cardio overlooking the, you know, gym. It has all the, we turned it into a leg area, but it has like a 4 foot high, almost looks like a huge ring that we turned into 3,000 square feet for just legs. Had all this shit that would cost just an insane amount of money, right? What we
Yeah.
were really doing was putting flooring down, lighting, obviously equipment and shit, but like we were doing aesthetics. We weren't doing structural. So 600 grand goes a long way when you're just doing aesthetics.
Did they make you use the 600 for the HVACs? Is that, was that the contribute? No.
No.
Okay. Because that's
Yeah.
generally, you know, especially in first generation spaces, like when we put a gym in a new location, the landlord's like, all right, I'm giving you know, let's say $600,000 of TI. And then it's all going to capital.
Dude,
It's going to HVAC. It's going to plumbing, electrical. You're like,
we have,
motherfucker.
right. We have one right now. It's a, we're doing a bunch of anti-aging clinics and we just signed a lease. It's only a 2,000 square foot facility. They gave us really good TI on verbally. And then when we get into the contract, there's no air handlers yet. That's part of that. I'm like,
Yeah,
motherfucker.
you got to be
So, yeah.
super strict, especially on those first, if they're first generation spaces, you know, you got to lock that shit in. Okay,
Yeah.
cool. So, all right, that gives me a little background on the commercial real estate side. So, why, let me ask you this. I know you're in the bodybuilding scene. I know I look at the fitness, I've been in the fitness industry my entire life. So, over 15 years now, like in it from that professional level. And I look at it and I see everything everyone understands is cyclical. When Arnold showed up in Venice Beach in the Gold's Gym era, like nobody was in the gym doing bicep curls at scale until that happened. And
Right.
then that was the dominant model for a very long time. However, it was intimidating because if you didn't know what to do or you didn't already look like you knew what to do, going into a gym back then was difficult. And when I would set up a health club, that's why, you know, the cardio deck was always the first thing you saw and is always separated from, you
Doctor.
know, that and the rise of Planet Fitness to cater to someone who doesn't know shit about fuck when it comes to working out, and it's not intimidating. But
Right.
then, you know, that gave birth to like Curves, which, if everyone remembers, the
I
fastest
remember.
growing group fitness franchise in the
Yeah.
history before they crash and burned, which
Right.
then gave way, you know, CrossFit happened, and then, you know, Orange Theory and the boutique fitness space is where all the private equity money groups like Maxim, the group that you've partnered with recently, that was all going into boutique group fitness. Why
Right.
do you think now, and this is across the country, we're seeing a resurgence of the open gym model?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. And that's exactly how it's gone. I think one thing is like strength training's hotter than ever, right? It's taken a lot of years, but people are really starting to believe now that like strength training also for women can keep you lean, can keep you fit, and people are starting to buy into that. So you're seeing a whole demographic of women coming in here and actually doing squats, doing even some deadlifts, right? So I think you got a whole demographic you couldn't pull from before that's coming into these big box gyms. So I think that's big. Then I also think one thing that we'll find out if we can be successful at is we're trying to throw some of the boutique things in this gym. So we have like a separated college weight room for kids, right? That's a whole different thing that you'd almost consider boutique. Then we have a thing called Carbon Edge that literally is like, I don't know, a comparable thing, but like call like Barry's Boot Camp. It's kind of like that, but it's in its own private room. And what we're trying to say is, those places you're paying $150 or $200 a month, right? And you get that class time only. We're giving you that class, that environment, that good of a look. But then on top of it, you have access to a gym too, right? So we're going to really test the model to see if you can do the open gym with some of the aspects of the boutique. And then I think if we can really do that, it makes you very diverse as times change, right? You can kind of shift and move and pivot as trends come in.
And you've seen, I mean, there's models that have, you know, obviously have a much larger scale, but like Lifetime, they have their, I think it's Alpha. It's like their version of CrossFit, right?
CrossFit.
And, you know, looking at that whole thing grow, how, you know, you seem like you had a lot of success in the supplement industry. And the nice thing about the supplement industry is like, you're kind of in this lane. You have a lot of SKUs, a lot of products, but you're in this one solo lane. You're talking, okay, youth. So now I got to understand the youth market and why would mom in Cool Springs bring her kid here versus D1, right? Or blah, blah, or, you know, or keep him in school or, you know, and do athletics at school. You're thinking, you know, you obviously have the Botox aging kind of service in there as well. Are these people that are these all part of the, are all owned within? Are you guys outsourcing these to subtenants within the property?
We'll get back to the podcast in just a minute. Concept validation. If you have an idea for a brick and mortar gym of any variety and you want somebody to validate the concept, to poke holes in it, to shark tank it, to find where the opportunities are and where the vulnerabilities are in your existing model so you don't make hundreds of thousands of dollars of mistakes in the process, shoot me a DM on Instagram at WTF Gym Talk. Concept validation is one of my favorite projects to take on with consulting clients. And I promise you, a little bit of proactive measure now can save you hundreds of thousands, if not complete failure, down the line. Guys, get back to the podcast. Enjoy.
That's a great, great question. So what we are moving towards is where it all be owned by us. But at the same time, we're not naive to think if you're going to get someone that is going to be really good, especially like let's use the youth performance, they're going to have some equity in this, right? You want someone who can run their own business and is that good. So the idea would be that in these business ventures, you have either something like that or a profit share system or something to where they have some skin in the game and you can keep good talent. So us, the biggest thing is making sure we get the right people. So we hired someone for Carbon Edge, was a girl that had some success in California, ready to go out on her own, right? She was going to, you know, in one way or another, probably raise money, figure out a way to do it herself. We figured out a way, bring her in. She has all the intangibles. She understands business, high business acumen, can write classes, write programs, great instructor on top of it, probably can manage and scale a business. So we brought her in. And I think that's going to be what we do. It's going to be all about making sure we hire the right people and not just get kind of like corporate where you just plug in a $16 an hour employee to teach a class, right? I think that's, we got to be smart and make sure we don't ever get away from that because then all of a sudden you become corporate and that is not what we want. Even though we may get into the franchise game eventually, we have some ideas of how to keep it fresh and how to keep it kind of like local and keep that flair. So that's going to be one thing that we need to be very conscious of. We don't become LA Fitness or freaking one of those. What I would say is dulled down, all looks the same, feels the same. No one really gives a shit inside the box.
Yeah. So, all right. And again, your success previously in the industry, in the supplement industry, obviously financially, again, even though they had an underperforming tenant, you know, the amount of time that we have to spend pouring over personal financial statements and P&Ls for our clients for a site, you know, because again, they don't want to repeat Franklin Athletic Clubs, right? They want to make sure you're funded. Did you have this merger with Maxim prior to going into this space? Or was the landlord comfortable with you? So, you know, as an entrepreneur at your level, doing it yourself, and then you were able to partner with Maxim after you secured it?
Yeah, it was the latter. So I did it myself. Not knowing we're going to do the Maxim deal. And yeah, unfortunately, when you have a new business, unless you're really, really good at negotiating, you have some pretty high level of personal guarantee, right? So they felt comfortable with my finances and I had a pretty large personal guarantee.
Hold you for the whole 10 years?
Well, what ended up happening is it was 75% of the lease, so you call it 7.5 years. But if we got to certain profit levels, which were already agreed, they would come off the PG. So we had to have a 90-day run rate of X amount of net income, and then they would actually put it to the business and take it away from, or sorry, it wasn't 3 months, it was 6 months run rate. They would move the actual guarantee to the business.
But you didn't have, you don't have to kick any percentage of revenue on this lease over to the owners of the property, do you?
No.
Great.
No. Nope.
Awesome. Well done.
But they have, I mean, it's crazy though. It's like, you look at some of these things though, like the original contract they had in the lease was if we ever sold, they got 5% of that portion. Like, so you have to like, so we obviously did not agree to that and, you know, it took some time, but like the, in there, you know, find, you know, a lot of the, I'm not trying to say all gym owners this way, but some definitely, you know, they're doing it for passion, probably don't even use a lawyer. And sure enough, you know, they'd go to probably, oh shit, someone's interested to buy it. And then they find out during that, that they're giving 5% of it to the actual leasing company.
Isn't that insane? Like, in commercial real estate, like landlords who like, isn't it enough to make the money off the asset? Like, this is what, this is the business you went into. And now you also want to throw, grab 2% if I sell it here. And it's, and again, I mean, yeah, sure. They gave you 600,000, but that's 20 bucks a square foot, which,
no, it's,
you know,
not, I mean,
for Nashville, which is a budding TI, a budding market. That's pretty much, that's under fair. That's undervalue. I mean, that's a low TI for what someone would get in the Gulch. The Gulch would get $65 a square foot in TI. Now, granted, I get the square footage and the scale is different. But yeah, that's such a crazy claw. I've seen that on a few occasions. It's like, okay, cool. If you sell the building while we're here, we want fucking 5%. Like, you know, yeah, I don't understand. So talk to me about the you know, for everyone listening, Maxim essentially is a, they're a private equity firm, correct?
Yes.
Yes. Private equity firm. They mostly specialize in, Maxim Partners specializes in the health and wellness. They have a cannabis company in their portfolio.
Yeah.
They have like e-bike technology. They have, what is the one? Stronger performance kitchen. You know, they do Sundial, which is the cannabis company, PharmaCann. I mean, very more techie things. And I'm not going to lie, in that portfolio, brick and mortar health club, it's kind of the least sexy thing in that entire report. It's got, it's like, again, it's like, oh, okay. Why, how did this partnership come to be? How did you guys get connected? And you know, what was it that they saw in your, in what you have been doing here, considering you don't have a proof of concept of this? Like you have, you were successful in the smaller shop. How many, how many members did you guys like tap hit in the smaller location before coming over here?
I think we were 800 and something in a small, and then, before Maxim came in on the bigger one, I think we were like at 2,200.
Okay. So in the smaller location, 22. Okay. So old location, 800. And how many square feet was that?
8,000.
8,000, 800, 8,000. And then you took over this spot. And then how many years into this spot did Maxim come in?
They came in, just over a year after we did 1 year. Yeah.
And so you had about 2,200 members at that point.
Yep. Correct.
Did you seek them out or did they headhunt you?
It's interesting is, and this is part of why I did it. Like I wasn't really looking for a PE company. I, probably, so we started talking to them in February of, last of 23. And in December, I was talking to my cousin who, he's had a lot of success in franchising, sold a bunch, got out of it. Now he has a marketing firm that does a lot of actual boutique fitness, franchises. So I'm talking to him and I'm like, you know, pretty headstrong. I'm calling him almost to have him just reconfirm I should franchise this, right? And the end of the call.
What industry? What franchise industry is he in?
Well, right now it's boutique fitness. He does like stuff for Core Yoga. I forget
Core
the
Power,
name of the group.
Yeah,
of course. Sorry, Core Power. Yeah, like a bunch of different boutique fitness franchises. But I'm like telling him, I'm really calling him to have him reconfirm this is a good idea. And by the end of the call, he's like, dude, this is not a good idea. And he gave me like 100 reasons it felt like of why I shouldn't franchise it. He's, you know, I'm a straight entrepreneur. I'm, you know, not necessarily like an operator. And I'm like, fuck, get off the call. And I'm like, I felt defeated. Right. And, but I listened to him. I mean, he did everything he said was reality. Right. So I was like, okay, if I'm going to do this, I obviously need to bring an operating company in. And then randomly, like in February, Maxim, I had known from the supplement side, I'd done some, kind of due diligence for them, on a couple different deals. So I knew them, really liked them. I think they just wanted to come see Carbon and they were looking, they wanted in the next year to get into the fitness space, but probably it was something a little more mature, you know, with like maybe they're 10 clubs deep, they have a proof of concept, they're rocking and rolling. So they came down in February, And then kind of showed them what we had and showed them the vision. And then next thing you know, we started talking. And then by April, we kind of agreed on terms. And then by like August, we had closed. And I think it was way greener than they anticipated to get a deal. But I, you know, they obviously liked the idea. So, and then the goal with them is, you know, I don't like to refer them as a PE company, but they are, but more of like an operating partner. I mean, the thing I do love about them is they understand fitness, wellness, and nutrition. It's not just a bunch of accountants. So you can have real conversations of like, you know, ROI on value of doing something they actually get versus being like, why the fuck would you spend this much on this piece of equipment? You know, that kind of stuff. So they actually get it and they don't want to really like, they don't want to cut corners and devalue the brand to bring profit. They think if we keep the brand up high, the profit will get there.
So when you talk operating company, what does that look like? Because someone's listening to this, you know, small business owner, they own a gym and they're like, okay, so is that like they're in the org chart for Carb Performance and they handle accounting and billing and marketing and things like that? Or is that still you? Talk to me about their role as an operating company for the business and then you and your team's role.
Yeah, I think eventually things like accounting will go into them as we get to multiple clubs, right? I think some of the kind of, let's call it like shared services you can do. So like the IT, finance, things like that, I think will go into them. But what they are is more of a sounding board and sitting on the board to help make decisions. But also day one, they basically had a board member that head up their education and he also was on their fitness board. He had just finished a transaction. So he was not working. He fell in love with kind of this concept. And then he came on as our actually active CEO. And like, we're, you know, it's early days for a CEO in theory, because, you know, we're really one club going to two clubs here this year.
Nashville market for the second one?
Yeah. West Nashville.
Okay.
The Nations. And, but it's more to like set it up to get this thing ready to scale. Right now we have some talks about some other areas we're looking at of, selling or JVing, and but it was to get the infrastructure ready, right? And then we even went ahead, we hired a district manager that, because it was the right time, someone we wanted to hire. So we actually right now have a infrastructure that's ready to go for, you know, if we went to six clubs in a year, we're going to be ready. So they helped us kind of do that, advise on that, and they put obviously one of their board members in the business.
Walk me through at this point. So you bring these guys in and hey, obviously there's going to be things you can't discuss here, but for an owner, someone listening who, you know, can't fathom this, right? It's a typical small business owner doing under $1 million a year with their gym. How much does a group like this take in equity?
That's a great question. I will say this, and it's going to take negotiation. They're always going to want majority. And then it's, do you want to give up majority? Right. And that sure. was a, we'll leave it at, it was a wrestling match on that.
Yeah. And well, and there's also, I mean, the nice thing for anyone listening, it's, you know, in these scenarios, someone comes in, if they're going to do what they say they're going to be able to do, there's plenty of other clubs for you to give majority ownership on future locations and things like that, you know?
Yep. No, it worked out really well for me. Like, it was interesting for me. I wasn't trying to raise money. And I'm not saying like, oh God, I have a money tree outside my house and I could just go do 100 gyms, but I definitely could have got this thing off the ground to multiple clubs and financed it myself. So it's a little different when you're negotiating with me, not desperate for money versus someone who needs the money. What I wanted more than anything was like them to help me scale this. Right. So I think it's a game of leverage, right? So if you're a small gym owner and you need the money, they know it, they're going to feel it, and you're probably going to end up with less equity if you can't finance it.
The best partnerships, I don't care if it's your significant other, your spouse, your girlfriend, whatever, two people who don't need each other, right, to be successful, but they want to be with each other. And the same thing in business. I do truly believe that. You technically didn't need them, and they technically don't need to invest in brick and mortar. You know, there's another, you know, there's something else they could do. They 100%. Can go fucking invest in Quantum downtown or whatever if they want, you know, like they want to go that route. Let's talk 100%. About that. So I'm a big fan of like colleagues over competitors, right? And you even alluded to it earlier, which, you know, had me thinking that way. When the CrossFit Cool Springs guy was next door, you know, tried to collab and things like that. The industry sucks, and the supplement industry, I've never been in personally, but I got to imagine it's probably as cutthroat as it gets in the supplement industry.
100%.
The the privately held, for the most part, the non-Lifetimes, not Crunch Fitness, not Gold's Gym, opening up these open gym health club type models. What are you, what did you do? Travel and do field trips? Have you ever gone down to Alpha? Have you like, did you, or do you know the guys down at Quantum downtown? Like, how are you getting out and seeing, like, okay, this is what the market has to offer? And I know you've probably been to 1,000 gyms, but how do you think about that as far as seeing what the market has to offer and creating colleagues over competitors?
Dude, 100%. That was something I always really loved, especially in the supplement space. Like, I didn't really make enemies. Had a lot of just like, it's always easier to be friendly. And like a lot of times, so many different things and business came my way because of that versus, like, fuck you. Like, you're on that side of the field. There's enough for all of us to eat, especially in the supplement space and the gym space. So definitely believe in that. And the gym thing, I was lucky is with like, I've been able to travel a ton, and see a lot of gyms, right? But then also connected to a lot of different business owners. So like, Raw Nutrition has a gym called Revive Gym down in Florida. Got to go there. I know Christian, who owns Alpha Land. Like even him and I sat next to each other at the Olympia, and all we talked about was basically, the gym and like some of the stuff he did and where he felt he got value in spending money, because he spent a lot of money, obviously. Like, and he's kind of telling me where he felt it was worth it, where it wasn't, learning from there. Flex Lewis owns a gym in Vegas called the
Dragon's
Dragon's
Lair,
Lair.
yeah.
Know him really well and his wife Allie. Know Steve from Bev's Francis. And like, my whole point of that is like, there's all things that these guys are doing right, and then kind of trying to like handpick some of the things you really like from each gym to try to incorporate it. And then, there's things obviously you pick up on, you're like, oh, we don't want to do that. But I think it's nice is when you can get a blended look at certain things, right? Like, I love the aesthetics of how Christian's gyms look at the Alpha Land, right? I think that's did a fantastic job on that. I look at sometimes the vibe and like, with Flex's gym, he comps a lot of people to get kind of big names in there to build it, right? Like, so you just take a little bit of each thing. And yeah, I've been lucky to go to a lot of gyms, see a lot of gyms. And the other thing that was like, I'm not trying to say like outside of Alpha Land, because it's just a different beast. Like, we're not going to set up a small, small town. There's not been a gym where I'm like, shit, we can't do this. Like, I always think, like, when I look at these gyms, I'm like, we can do it and do it better. And maybe that's a little bit of arrogance, but like, that made me want to go a little bit deeper into the gym space, because there wasn't a gym where I'm like, shit, we can't do this, right? Exception of Alpha Land, we're not gonna do 14 buildings and, all that shit.
How do you think of that, the role of the fitness influencer and bringing them into your space to help create consumer-generated content and to leverage awareness of the brand and, create a place where, again, you look at a world of where Gymshark really kind of set, really kind of punched home that bodybuilding culture again from an apparel standpoint, being proud to wear that.
Lifestyle.
Yeah, exact, very much so. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think like we've been lucky. It's kind of tough too. It's like in the beginning, when we started Carbon, we did a lot of like speaking events. We had like John Meadows when he was around, Lane Norton, had a bunch of different bodybuilders that come in and do those events. They're great. The thing that's hard now is we've had Chris Bumstead here multiple times, and he doesn't really go anywhere. So it's a like, it's a big thing. And like our first event, we did a Q&A, and it was November of 2022, and we had just finished the weight room. We did the whole weight room, and this shit didn't even wasn't even by design. Chris was coming in town for the supplement, but like for our supplements, and literally my wife was like, shit, maybe we can get the whole gym done by that weekend, and we close it down for that week and reopen and have Chris do something. Like, this was like not like a strategic play. It was like last minute, right? And then sure enough, talk to Chris, he's cool with it. All right, great. And then like we just kicked ass and literally closed the gym down for 5 days, ripped all the equipment out, ripped the flooring out, put the new flooring down, all the new equipment. And it was obviously a team effort. And then sure enough, the first thing that we did, we opened the gym for that event. We had 780 people that paid $100 a ticket for a Q&A. Place was packed. The amount of views, it's on Chris's YouTube, which is like you could pay $100,000 and it wouldn't be good enough to get on his YouTube, because it just starts going
Sure.
viral, right? And then all the stuff. So like, that's one where I don't know if we could recreate. It was just like the stars aligned and we got a little bit lucky. It wasn't really strategic. And I think that really helped our gym, because all of a sudden it was like the first time you got to see the new gym, it went viral.
Are you familiar with the brand out of Pennsylvania, Fusion?
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah. What's your thoughts on Fusion? I'm not looking for you to bash anybody yet, whatever. I'm just curious.
I mean, surface level, they spent a ton of money and it looks awesome, kind of at the aesthetics, the flooring, the lighting.
Yeah.
Looks great, right? I think the thing that I was a little surprised by was when you spend that much money, I mean, you have marble floors fucking everywhere, lighting insane, 6,000 squat racks, all this stuff. They didn't spend the right money on the equipment. And it's kind of like you got a great car, you got the rims, but then inside you got like a 300 horsepower engine. So that's kind of what I felt. It sounds pretty negative, obviously, but I wasn't overwhelmed by it.
It's interesting, you know, where functional fitness is getting, you know, kind of taken, you know, on the group fitness side. And, you know, you've got the Alikios and you have the Rogue Fit, obviously, of the world and things like that. But when it comes down to plate loaded equipment, machine pin based equipment, you know, more bodybuilding, figure based, you know, type equipment, that game has just been so stagnant for so long. However, again, like we talk about like Arsenal, Atlantis and Prime and stuff like that, you do have some key players coming in that are making some, you know, what I like to call like over-engineered, but in a good way, right? I mean, they're expensive, all that kind of stuff. And that was, I've not been to Fusion yet. I've had a few people that have been, and it was very similar. It was like really good aesthetic. Mm-hmm. But then when you get to actual the practical application of the use of it, like on it, you're like, this is literally the same cable pull down that I would use at the Hilton. It's a hotel.
Yeah, 100%. That's 100%. I went to go do an incline fly. Like Arsenal has one.
Yeah.
They had an incline fly. It literally felt like the way it was engineered, like I was going to like separate my shoulder to get the thing out of the hatch. So it's just like little things like that. I was just like unimpressed. Then I went to a gym called, what is the name of it? Something Recomp, Absolute Recomp, I think, in Texas. Unbelievable. Like kind of the same aesthetic look to Fusion, but 30,000 square feet, not like, you know, 80,000. And then they just killed it on the equipment. I mean, they probably have a little too much equipment in there because it's on top of each other. But like, I would go there any day over it just because like they have, I mean, every piece of good equipment, they spent the money on the equipment.
It's, you know, the open gym model, there's, you know, equipment's one thing we can bring value on. You can have these other amenities, but it's really hard. It's going to take you years to dial in the customer journey of, okay, what's our penetration rate and our other things other than the core service that we offer?
Yeah.
The one thing I judge, and I know I referenced them earlier, the Core 24 brand, the most impressive thing to me, and I've seen the numbers and all that, it is less than 10% of people wear headphones. That's really the metric to me that blows my fucking mind, because the music.
What do? They count the people?
No, I'm talking like from a personal observation. Like I can't walk into a gym without visually measuring how many feet they're using in between each machine to maximize op cap. And, and I look at that, but going there, less than 10% of people at any given time are listening to their own music because they spend that much time curating music. Because if the headphones are on, you're not committing a community and talking with people, getting to know people. So it's like, okay, if the headphones are on, we're not going to create the community we want. How do we get the headphones off? We have to make music that are bangers that the majority of people like. And again, there's always a spectrum where 10 to 20% aren't going to like it. But that was, that's always, you know, that's a difficult thing, you know, music licensing and shit like that. And are you going to pay someone to curate your own shit or soundtrack my brand or services like that?
That's interesting. I'm gonna go. I've never really looked at that. That's a great point on the headphones. I'm gonna like.
It is. You want to? Okay. Here's a great. This is a story you'll love. So this gym, I found it in the middle of nowhere, Greenville, South Carolina. Cool little town, right? And I bumped into it. I recognize that. You know, they got beer on tap and pre-workout on tap. This whole cool vibe. It was a Friday night, and the gym floor started slowly getting less busy. It was like, but it was still early. It was like maybe 5 o'clock. Everyone moved into this one area where they have multiple deadlift platforms. The community, there's no group class. There's no trainers.
Yeah.
The community just started from talking to each other, getting together on Fridays to have a deadlift party. And people
That's
just
hilarious.
show up at 5 o'clock on Fridays and pull. And everyone cheers each other on, and there's a bar crawl,
Right.
people go out afterwards. And you're like, holy fuck, did that just happen on its own? Did that really
Yeah.
just happen organically amongst the membership? Because that's the thing. It's like that, you know, as a gym owner, you can bring all the things that you can talk to Maxim about and do all these things, but how do you keep it stickier than the next guy with twice Maxim's money, right? Or
Yeah,
whatever it may
exactly.
be. And it's those
Yep.
intangibles like that that are always just so interesting to me that certain people
That's
just
funny.
fucking hit home on.
That's and it's a huge thing. That's a, you make a really good point on that. Is like one of the things that like we are trying to balance is like we never spent money on marketing before Maxim came in. It was all organic and just kind of like culture based. And you know they wanted to do some marketing spend and that's fine. But I keep like I'm honing in on basically like we need to not lose the grassroots. It's about touching people and it's about building culture. If we just sit there and wait for leads to come in from a fucking computer, we're gonna get stalled. Very stale, I should say. And I think one of the things we're trying to make sure as we balance is the community events, the things we do here that are the intangibles that touch people versus just throwing out $10,000 on marketing ads, right?
And it, you know, it's this is such a, I hate the word, but it's like, how do you bring a cool factor to where people walk in and like, I want to take a photo in front of that, or I want to be there. I
100%.
want to see the thing, kind of, you know, again, what Alpha Land did, but how do you do it on a practical scale, a
Yeah.
repeatable scale?
Yep.
Talk to me. Do you mind sharing what are membership prices at Carbon Performance?
75 for like the basic contract, and then 125 for like what they call the elite, which is access to the other gym, 24/7 individual showers. In the next gym, it'll be a little bit different. We'll probably be going up a little bit in the city, but what it'll be is the same thing where you have a base membership, like say 80 to 90, and then the same delta, but in our other, so we're still going to have the big gym, and then next to the big gym, even in West Nashville, we'll have a small gym that's 24/7, exclusive to so many members. But the big difference between that one and Franklin is we'll have four locker rooms that are individual that have saunas and cold plunges in them. So you'll pay that membership, and it's say it's a $50 delta. You can go work out there, you can do cardio 24/7. But you have access to the cold plunge, infrared, and there'll be a shower in there. So you could go do all three, get ready, get out. And we'll have a recovery room as well, too. So really focus on that elite membership to be more recovery based than just a gym. So that's kind of where our price points will be. So I still think very fair, probably between 80, 85 for a contract, and then like that 130 range for the elite membership.
And how many memberships currently does Carbon Performance have?
I'm sorry.
How many members currently does Carbon Performance have?
That's a great question. I'm gonna ask Cody right now. You know, rough.
I think we're a little over 2,500.
Little over 2,500.
Got it.
I would have
So we
just
got a
made a
good,
number
okay.
up,
So
but that's
2,500 for everyone doing the math at home, and a blended average between the two memberships of about $100 average, probably between the two, between your lower tier and higher tier.
yeah, correct.
Yeah. Where do people lean into more? Is the other the extra additional 24/7 all the things is that worth it to them to go to the higher tier? Or are you finding people not biting on that immediately at the point of sale?
Not immediately, we're probably a little bit over 10% that go for the elite, but I think what we're going to see is the difference with the recovery tools in Nashville. I think it'll be a very high percentage because so many people are spending money on the cold plunges, the infrareds at excessive prices, where for $50, you're not going to really beat it. So I wouldn't be surprised that if we have 20, 25% of our members actually have the elite package.
I have this conversation. I'd love your weigh in on this. So I have this conversation constantly with clients, and when we're looking for a site to put the gym, having the on your kind of a model, more of a open gym health club type model, trying to like, I think Quantum's guy. I like, and again, I like the space. I think it's a cool concept. I think you have too many strangle points or pinch points with the deep urban setting location versus in a tier two market like Nashville. If you lived and grew up in Nashville in the Gulch and you rented that apartment and you like going to Quanta, whatever, you generally probably can't afford to live in that area when time comes. You are moving out to the burbs. In Cool Springs, my grandparents lived like on the Brentwood Nashville line. So I was in Cool Springs constantly.
Right.
You know, that's a good, you know, you probably see that's a good migration path for the young professional who's into fitness and wants, and you know, what it just had had a kid and got married in the past 2 years, get moves home. Where do you think about the growth of this, and what markets are we thinking? Like one ring outside the urban, like a suburban market, one notch outside of a center city? Are we thinking more suburban based, take over a Dick's Sporting Goods that failed, or a Circuit City that failed type locations? What are we looking
at? Yeah. I mean, that is kind of head on is like, I think in the right markets, the big city, you maybe put one kind of on the outskirts, like in the city. Like, so West Nashville is a great example. It's not like in the loop of downtown, but it's still downtown. The great thing about Nashville is bad thing about Nashville, there's not really public transportation. So people drive. So if you're going to have a gym, you need to have really good parking, right? So we've got lucky is in the building we have, brand new building, we're going to have 200 parking spots right below. So like that takes away one pitch point that I think, you know, Quantum has, right? And it allows people to come from even 15 minutes outside the city. Maybe you're in East Nashville, you can get over to West Nashville easily. There's parking. You can get Bellevue, Bellmead, all that, right? So for this, it makes sense. But like what we would like to do is basically find three or four of the richer suburbs, if, you know, hopefully geographically separated at the right point, and put in those markets. So we become a household name in that city. Like we could use, so Nashville is an example, and I'll throw up towns. We're not saying we're necessarily going to go to them. We have Franklin, we have West Nashville. Maybe we go to Mount Juliet and then maybe go to Spring Hill. So then we have like this big triangle that within 20, 25 minutes, no matter where you live, an hour of the city, you can get to a Carbon, right? But I think the big thing is we need to have a household income that's over $100,000 to be successful. So it's making sure the demographics match up, the population matches up, obviously factor a little bit of competition who's there. I'm not so worried about competition when you get above $100,000 per household. Cause you're not going to necessarily compete with like a Planet Fitness or a Crunch in some of those areas.
Yeah, different demo.
Yeah. But so for us, it's like three or four per city, right? We're not going to get naive and think that we can do 10 like Planet does. I think it's three or four rich suburbs. And then depending on the city, maybe putting one in the city or on the outskirts of the town.
Okay. What is your, what's the, like, if you and Maxim, do you guys have conversations? What's the, you're obviously already working on location two in the Nashville, in the submarket of Nashville. What's the clip of growth currently for you guys? And again, there's a lot of deals with these PE firms in which you have to kind of commit to a certain growth rate because it's what makes sense for them and the money that they put in.
So we definitely want to have four in Nashville in the next like 2 years. That's kind of the goal, right? And then we have, and I can't say yet, but we have a couple other outside markets right now, different cities that we're actually going to be beginning conversations on in the next like 2 months. So what you may see is us pick two or three cities in the first 2 or 3 years and try to do three or four in those cities to make sure we can prove the concept of like what I'm telling you is we have three or four in the richer suburbs in these cities. And then we have three cities that we prove concept. Maybe we have 9 to 12 gyms in total. And at that point, I think you can feel, you feel comfortable. You're ready to, you kind of go into that next, you know, third gear, fourth gear and press it into a lot more cities. Right. So I think that's kind of our plan. But again, you know how opportunities are. If there's the right opportunity, this, we could be sitting here next year and it's a completely different plan.
Sure. Absolutely. So. Well, dude, Brent, listen, I appreciate your time today and sharing everything with me. I'm excited for you guys. Yeah. Next time in Nashville, I'll definitely have to come by and see the new location. If anyone's interested, everyone's, you know, they're a gym owner, they want to come by and just check out what it is you've created, or they've got a question, maybe, you know, maybe they're on a similar trajectory. What's the best way someone could get in contact with you?
Probably Instagram. Pretty good at answering DMs, which is Brent_Laffey, LAFFEY.
Good deal. And guys, I'll throw I'll put the website link and all that shit in there. You guys can go check this thing out. But dude, I appreciate your time today. Congratulations on everything. Real exciting shit.
Hey, great questions. I haven't had many people actually ask legit good business questions before, so appreciate it.
Absolutely, brother. Absolutely. We'll do it again soon. Thank you.
All right, man. Take care.